Odds Deprogram, the podcast where we try to get you into an artist. That's right. We've done all the work for you. All you have to do is press play and listen to us talk about Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, because he's a bad seed, ladies and gentlemen. And that's not commenting on anything but the name of the band. It is worth noting before we get into before I introduce the panel, that we did lose a panelist this week, Ben, and I can't wait to have him on soon to, you know, talk about his love of music. But he felt he couldn't.
For the record, he didn't die.
He's still alive.
He just dropped out of this recording.
Right.
Sorry, I just want to make that real clear.
Yeah. he did not pass on. We just he had to back out because he didn't feel like he could add anything positive to the conversation, which I respect. Because this is the place where we try to show love for the artistry. And sometimes that extends to the artist, and that's a whole art versus artist conversation, which, you know, we do that a lot on the After the Facts.
So. We've been having this conversation for a while, actually, on this show.
Yes, because it happens a lot. So art versus artistry, I'm sure, will be a big topic on After the Fact, patreon.com/showhijustin, if you would like to get in on that. But Ben did drop out because of some things that have kind of been, what we'll say is, applied to Nick Cave in his beliefs on what is happening in Israel. So, you know, that's where we'll leave that. But I respect Ben for saying, hey, man, I can't offer anything positive here. So I'm going to be a drag on this. And with that said, I do want to jump in here and let's get the positive train going. So we've had other people drop out of the panel, but it was because this was going to be a 7-person thing. So as it goes, Chris Otto put Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds on the board. He dropped out when there was going to be 7 people. Next in line was you, Adam. So you get to inherit first chair. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Tell me about why it was so important that we talked about Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds today.
Justin, so for me, my love of Nick Cave's been a long time. So it was probably around 88 that a mate of mine borrowed Tender Prey from the libraries, when you used to borrow cassettes from the library. So going back a long time ago, and him and I listened to Nick Cave's Tender Prey, and from there fell in love with Nick Cave as an artist and went back through his catalogue. Also, given I've done a few of these shows now, this is actually my first Australian artist that I've done. So Nick Cave has remained for me a really important artist right through my music listening, probably more so than any other artist. I still listen to all of his albums, and I think one thing I think we might all agree on is the quality of his writing and storytelling and imagery has not diminished at all through his career. In fact, if anything, you could argue it's got stronger. So super excited to be talking about his Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds and all of the things that they've produced. We've got 17 albums, I think, that we're covering off on. So it's a mammoth task.
So if she was a rapper, we found out that her name would be Rich AF. It made me so happy to find out that the initial of the last name is F, because AF. And you signed up just after, because I kind of forced everybody who did the Radiohead thing to find something to come talk about. And one of the first...
Oh, trust me, you didn't force me. I looked at that list and I was like, well, obviously I have to talk about Nick Cave.
So tell me about it. What is it about Nick Cave, and why was that an absolute for you?
Well, I have been a big fan of the Bad Seeds since I was in high school. I think that they were a group that I really sort of latched onto as I was sort of discovering my own musical taste and musical identity, and their music has really just kind of been—it's been one of those sort of catalogs that have just kind of followed me along in my life. And you know, my relationship to the songs has changed. My relationship to like Nick's work and Nick as a person has certainly gone through a lot of changes over the years. And I just can't, I can't deny like how much of an impact it's had on me. And the thing is, like, I have spent many, many recorded hours talking about Radiohead, and that is documented on the internet, yeah. Certainly. But I hardly ever get to talk about other bands like the Bad Seeds. Although, you know, actually on our own podcast where we ostensibly talk about Radiohead, I mean, Ben and I go into tangents about Nick Cave all the time. And so we've had lots of discussions sort of about his impact on our lives, and the way we've related to his music over the years. But I genuinely also like have never been in a situation where I could be like, these are the songs that I would choose. What do you guys think? Like, I just don't know what that, like, I don't know anything about sort of like the overarching fan base at large, or like how certain songs or eras or anything are considered in the fandom. So I was really excited to sign up for this episode specifically because I just never get that opportunity. So I'm both excited to hear what you guys have to say and what songs you've picked, but also terrified because I have no idea what's coming.
Well, I wanted to echo a point that you made in the chat going on, because this kind of hammers home what you just said. You said you never get to nerd out about Nick Cave with anybody.
It's true.
So that's exactly what's about to happen. And Brian, around that same time, you know, as I was getting everybody from the Radiohead thing, you said, wait,
yeah,
there's a Nick Cave panel and I'm not on it.
Yeah, exactly.
So talk to me about it.
Well, Nick Cave, I mean, you don't find a lot of like gothic intellectuals in life. And Nick Cave is certainly checks that box for me. Like, politics aside, I just saw him again for the second time in my life. Mm-hmm. And he performed solo with Colin Greenwood from fucking Radiohead on bass. And my list has changed so much because of that performance. Cause there were songs that I didn't necessarily weren't on my like top 20 radar that are now, but I mean, he's just like my solo stuff, as you know, Justin, you played on your radio before, is like very instrumental, like soundtrack work. And like his work as a normal artist, and also as, I don't want to say normal as a pejorative or anything, but like as a artist as we know, and then also he does a lot of soundtrack work with Warren Ellis. And that stuff to me is like probably my favorite shit he's ever done. But, and also the stuff he, like, since Warren Ellis has come around in his life, is I think he's making the best music he's ever made. And I know a lot of fans think that the first couple albums are like the best stuff, and I'm like, I can see where you feel that way, but he's an artist who's is just constantly grown and changed his entire career. So like he doesn't make music like he used to, and that's a good thing for me anyway. But like he's always been on my radar. He's a brilliant songwriter. He has a voice that shouldn't be as good as it is, but it is. And he's also the greatest frontman I've ever seen in my life. And I was blown away by seeing him for the first time a couple of years ago. Like, I've never seen a frontman that gave a shit that much and went out into the crowd and like sang with people. It was really like, I love him a lot. And I'm trying to separate art from the artist, especially in this case, since it was like a pressing issue. But to me, like, his music is too good for me to do that with. And I maybe that's a negative statement about myself, but for me, like, his music just speaks way more volumes than any outside of his political statements about the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which I agree with wholeheartedly. But
Brian's longstanding.
I also don't mean a lot of people who publicly hate the Red Hot Chili Peppers as much as I do outside of Nick Cave. So
me too, buddy. I'm right there with
you. Good. All right. We're in the right place.
So
yeah, I'm probably there too. So there you go. You got a trifecta.
So my relationship with Nick Cave is practically non-existent. I know the one song from Dumb and Dumber that I didn't realize was him. And I feel like it's kind of come in and out of my life where somebody has pointed out, or I've realized that it was Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and it's like, oh, I should get into him. And then I don't. No real reason as to why, you know, why do I do the things that I do? You know, maybe this is why. Maybe so I could do this show with you guys. So I didn't know what to expect really at all coming in. And then when I put everybody together and we're starting to talk about, like, what do we cover? And, you know, it was the most fun, aggravating experience I've ever been a part of, because it is, for me, aggravating to not be able to get started because you can't figure out where the starting line is. But, like, having people come to bat for, like, oh yeah, we can leave this album off, leave this album off. Oh no, wait, we can't do this without this album. And then we get to the point where it's like, okay, well, what if we do, you know, certain songs get left off of each album? So Adam, you ended up kind of taking charge of okay, this is what we're going to do. What was it like from your standpoint, you know, actually, you know, taking in everybody's opinions and actually putting our big list together for this one?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we worked really well together, but, like, in a similar sort of vein, when we did Echo and the Bunnymen earlier this year, it was reasonably easy to go, we'll do 80s, because that's 80s Bunnymen is their peak, and it's pretty clear. And we were pretty comfortable with that. With Nick Cave, like I said before, he's got different eras of sound, but yeah, the quality of songwriting does not really drop off. If anything, I agree with Brian, it's probably strengthened and got more amazing as he's gone on in some of the eras. So we really wanted to represent the entire discography, but, you know, that's like hundreds of songs. So, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So what we did is we chucked in most of the full albums, and then we went through and we cut songs and added songs as we went. I think we ended up with a list of around 120 or so before we, like I like to term, that we murdered about 40, which I think Nick Cave would have loved. and it got down to a nice list of around 80, but covering 15 albums over 40 years of music writing. And I would say, I think Nick Cave can hold in an argument as one of the best songwriters of all time.
Totally agree.
I really do. I think he's up there with a lot of his own heroes in Leonard Cohen and maybe this might be a slightly weird one, but Johnny Cash as well, to raise, because I've been listening to a bit of Johnny Cash lately because of my Nick Cave obsession. So there's a lot of links in through
Warren Zevon too. I think he's got money in him as well. Yeah.
100%. And so anyway, I think it was fun to work out. It was tricky to do without giving away too much where our allegiances were, but I think we did a good job of getting to know each other a bit through that process too, is mm-hmm. what I think. Yeah.
Like I said, it was the most fun, frustrating thing that I've ever been part of. Like, I wasn't, of course, I'm never mad. You guys are taking time out of your lives to do my dumb show. But, like, it was just fun to watch everybody kind of chime in. So, but that to me is where kind of the fun ends, right, Adam? So you had to do a bunch of work before you get to the hard work. So we get it down to 80 songs. Talk to me about what your song selection process is like to get your 20 for this discussion.
Yeah, look, it was like, as everyone's going to say this, I think, but it was pretty tough. I think I had 50 on my first cut. I think I did get down to 30 from there reasonably quickly, and then that last 10 was quite hard, and I flipped around with the 20. I was trying to get representation across, not so much albums, but across what I call eras, because there are eras, quite defined eras, I think, in his sound. I do have a bit of a love of early Nick Cave. Those first six albums or so were where I really, my passion was. And I probably did lose connection with him for a while there in the early 2000s and stuff. But I've come back to him since. But So I found it really tricky, but I am really comfortable with my 20. I also was thinking about, you know, a new listener. So I was thinking, you know, this is a list about for people coming into Nick Cave. So I was careful not to go load up with all my deep cuts. But I have got some faves in there. And I've also probably got a shock omission, I reckon, in there too, potentially.
So, and this being your first time doing deprogram proper, as even at the beginning, I said that you and Ben can't. I you guys can't be the two that drop out because, you know, you have to experience this. You know, Ben has had his reasons, which we respect. You decided to stay on. After we get that initial 80, talk to me about what it was like for the first time getting your 20 for this discussion.
It sucked. Thank you. narrowing down that many songs. No, but like, I did actually have a great time doing it, even if it was painful to like, try to decide between songs that I wanted to include. I feel pretty good about my list. I think I landed somewhere that's a good balance of stuff that, I think would both go over well with a new listener, and are also, in some cases, personal favorites of mine. There are definitely songs on here that, I think maybe should be on like an overall list that didn't make mine, probably just because there's so many to choose from. Like, I'm sure that there's going to be stuff on my list and on your guys's list that we thought was like untouchable or like was going to be an obvious consensus that's going to not be that. So I'm curious to see what those things are. I do think we did a really good job, even with all of the kind of hassle around it, narrowing it down to, you know, the number of albums that we did and the sort of extra songs that we did. I think if we're, you know, not going to force Justin to listen to 100,000 hours of music, then I think we picked the right sort of selection to get somebody, you know, to choose from to get somebody interested in Nick.
So, Brian, I don't recall you saying, you know, that you hate me or that you want to quit the show or anything leading up to this. Were you waiting until mics were on to say it this go around, or was it?
I mean, obviously, yeah, of course. I hate the show. I was actually talking about the show with my friend before I came on here tonight, and I was like, I love the show, but I also hate the show every single time. And I was talking about my last experience on the show, which was like, I never had an experience where we had more than 10 songs that went all the way through with Elton John. And I was like, there's no way that this show is going to be like, it's just, I feel like it's like doomed for failure because I had such a great experience after years of doing the show. Not that I didn't have a good experience before, but like that was a one in a lifetime on the show anyway, from my experience, where we all agreed on what was right. And I think that we're probably not going to do that this time, and that's fine. And like, I was doing really well on my list, and then two things happened. One, I saw Nick Cave again live, and that really changed my list. And then two, Taylor Swift decided to release 1989, Taylor's version, and then I just completely stopped putting my list together for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, so, as one does.
Now I've had to revisit it again. So we're going to have a couple songs that we all agree on, but I think we're probably going to miss a lot because he's one of those artists that he's a lyrical guy.
Yeah.
So it's going to mean something inherently different than most people. Whereas if you have like a musical artist, I'm not saying he's not musical, but like his music isn't the forefront. It's his lyrics that are the forefront to me anyway. So like being a very lyrically charged person, I think that inevitably we're all going to go different directions because we all have different personal connections to these songs. So,
yeah. Even listening, like as I'm listening on my first pass, I'm groaning as I'm cutting things because I know yeah. I'm going to be wrong. I know like some one of you guys is going to have, and I'm groaning. I'm like, oh, I don't want this to go. I think I had probably roughly somewhere between 40 and 50. I don't recall at this point, but like I was like, oh, man, like. And you know, I know Adam said he had a slight bit easy getting down to 30. I didn't, you know, each one was like, I don't know, because it really like even after doing all the work to get it down to 80, it truly felt like, you know, it really just depends on what you want to bring to the table. And then like at some point, pretty early on, like when I maybe first started listening, and you said something that cracked me up and that I kind of was accidentally doing as I was going. You said that part of your list was things that your girlfriend would like absolutely hate. You would not present to her.
Mm-hmm. And, well, it got tricky because I told her that I was doing this podcast because we listened to the deprogram Radiohead Championship together. And she actually came with me to see Nick Cave and Warren Ellis last year. But she is and was totally unfamiliar with his music. And she was like, oh, I'd be interested in like hearing this playlist that you make to, you know, for the show. And I was like, I have a crossroads here where I could either try to curate my list so that it's more to my girlfriend's taste so that I can try to get her into the band, or I could be true to what I think would be a more accurate representation of what the discography looks like. And I'm sure that there's a couple of songs in here that she would be like, no thanks. So I haven't tested out this playlist on her yet, so we'll see. But I think I ended up having to kind of stick to my guns and pick some songs that I think are sort of for the anonymous new listener rather than a specific person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was doing that as well. Like, again, not on purpose. I just, there's a lot of songs that I either kept around longer than maybe I should have, or that I was like, there's no way this draws a new person in. But like the feeling I was getting was, this is what this dude does. And so like, I found my problem being the balance between those juxtapositions. Like, do I go with something mm-hmm. that is completely soothing and pleasing to the ear, which he does a ton of, like a lot of heartbreak, a lot of beautiful stories. Or do I go with something that's a little rough, a little, cause he does a lot of that too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I feel like I got it. You know what I mean? I feel like I understood, but I am completely sure that I crapped the bed on my list, because
if it makes you feel any better, I mean, I've been a fan for over a decade and I'm still like, I'm sure I got some of these answers wrong, you know, like from the perspective of, you know, the fan base at large.
Justin, I knew that this was the most personal episode I've done yet, because I actually really, really care about whether or not you like Nick Cave or not. Because as I was going through, I really want to know what Justin thinks of him. So maybe you can reveal that as we go through. But I really want to know if you, you know, if you listen to him again, like, you know, and what your thoughts are on him as an artist.
So, you know, we'll definitely dive into that more as we go on. But I did enjoy him. Like, I don't know that I'll ever be able to listen like this again, but there's some songs. And when we come up to them, I'll be like, yo, this was the moment. This was the thing. This is what happened with this.
Cool.
But
I seriously can't imagine just like mainlining his discography like you did in such a short period of time. So kudos to you.
Well, I'm a masochist. You'll learn this about me, Anne.
I think I've kind of gathered as much based on the existence of the show.
All right. So one last layer before we get into actual gameplay here. We've all kind of admitted like maybe we got answers wrong here. So based on that, Adam, how many do you think for the final say, how many do you think we're going to get through unanimously?
Yeah. And it's a little bit of a larger panel. So, but I still reckon there's enough that we'll land on. I'm going to go four.
Okay. All right. Four seems about right. All right. Anne, what do you think?
I would say probably similar, like 3 to 5. I think if I want to be conservative, I would stick on the side of 3, because again, there's like some that for me are just like so obviously like this is one of the sort of most representative songs of the band's entire catalog, but like I don't fucking know. You guys could have totally different opinions on me, so we'll see. But yeah, I'll take a vague guess at 3 for now.
All right, 3. And just so you're aware, and in case anybody is listening to Deprogram for the first time, if you nail this number, you get to pick the 10th song, no questions asked.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, God. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Does that change your
number?
Can
I ask, No, it doesn't change my number, but okay. Does it include songs that we didn't include in the initial pool for this episode, or are we just limiting it to that 120 or whatever?
So I'll say this. I don't like that, but it is not against it is not against the rules.
There are no rules technically.
Yeah. You can pick.
All right. Well, in the event that that happens, I will have a decision to make, but I'll cross that bridge when I get to it.
All right. And Brian, what do you think? Three and four are off the table.
I was going to say four. That's initially where I went. I also don't keep up with like the fandom and what songs they like actually either. So I don't really know. But I wanted to say four and you already took three. So I guess I have to go with five.
All right. Five. Man, here's the conundrum. I mean, two really does not seem like it's impossibly low is the crazy part.
We're covering a lot of eras. So, yeah,
six seems entirely too high. Even five does, you know, like it seems like we could really hear a lot of groans of, man, what a great song, but no. Like, I feel like that's going to happen a lot here. but I will say this. I absolutely do not want the burden of final say. So I'm going to take the high road and I'm going to go six.
Wow.
I'm going to take the pressure.
We'll see. Wow. It really could go either way.
Take the pressure off of myself is what I say. All right. So we are going to take a quick pause. And when we come back, we won't play the game. Jack hits the program. And with that, the name of the game is Deprogrammed. The four of us have painstakingly picked out 80 Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds songs to start with, and then plucked out 20 songs out of those that we're now going to mash together in an attempt to create a top 10 starter kit for you in case you have never given Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds the time of day. I'm not going to start with what seems like the obvious one, but I am going to start with the one that made me go, oh, I'm in for it. I always love that moment of, it made me feel like I already understood what was going on. I understood what I'm in for. Like, not necessarily sound-wise, but it was the first moment I was like, oh, be still my heart. This is what's happening here. Now I've hyped it up to just get a bunch of zeros, I'm sure. But I'm going to go with Up Jump the Devil.
Oh, man. I was so close to putting that on my list, dude. I swear to God. I love that song.
I don't have it either.
It's not there. Sorry, Justin. I do love it, though.
Yeah. Out on my own to start it. But
Up Jumped the Devil and took this song from the game.
Yes, it's very true. I what can I say? It hit me the right day at the right time. All right.
I totally get it. Like, that was one of my early favorites too, and it's still one that I like have a real big soft spot for. I do think, like, you know, it didn't make my list, but I do think it's a good one to kind of give somebody the sense of what Nick Cave's whole deal is.
So I wasn't wrong. It just not right enough for it to make the list.
I guess so.
All right, Adam.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the same album, actually, Tender Prey. So when I first heard Nick Cave, the first song that really I've never heard anything like this before. And you could see the start of Nick as the storyteller. And it's a song that I just think is one of the most incredible songs ever written. And that is The Mercy Seat.
Wow. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Oh. Yeah. For sure.
Well, the good news is three is as good as in at this point. I do not have it, but like I said, three on a four-person panel is just about as good as in. So I was wrong.
That's something I didn't think about as far as the consensus picks, because for me, that was like a very obvious, like, oh, everybody's going to pick that one. But I didn't really account for the wild card that is Justin.
That's
just
right.
Hearing these songs for the first time. Yeah. So that puts a wrinkle on it as well.
He's really good at that.
I am very, you will get mad at me at some point today. That's a guarantee.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
You need to go back and listen to it real loud after this, Justin, and you will see the mistake you made.
I will say that for all that I did choose the Mercy Seat on my list, I've never been a big fan of the studio version. I've always preferred the live versions that are a little more stripped down, where you can really get a sense of what the lyrics are. But it's, you know, it's obviously so iconic in his discography that I couldn't not pick it.
But the lyrics and the storytelling is so gripping. It's a great, you know, I just find that's where I realized that I was dealing with, you know, with an artist that is more than just the sound. It's a very deep messages and song. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Anne. Your first.
I want to give a shout out to the Johnny Cash version of that song as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow,
it's a good one.
All right, Anne, your first go. You're up.
Oh boy. Okay. So I think I'm going to go for the song that I put my playlist together, not in order of, you know, what I picked first, second, et cetera, but more just the way that it flows. But because of, you know, I think when I was trying to think of songs that really capture the real Bad Seeds vibe and their whole deal, I think that I was kind of thinking about songs that kind of hit on what I think of being as sort of the big three of Nick's songwriting topics, which is love, God, and murder. Yeah. Murder kind of transforms into just death in general in his later catalog. But really, it's kind of those big three that are always, you know, the songs are all some combination of those three things. And the song that I kind of picked to be sort of the first track on my introductory playlist that I think really captures the love, the God, and the murder all equally would be Do You Love Me Part One.
Yeah, absolutely. I got it.
Yeah, me too.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's I've got it.
Oh, oh nice. Okay.
Hey. Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
All right, we got one.
Sorry, I think I lost it for a second there, but yeah, no, I have got it. Yeah.
All right.
Phew.
Wonderful.
So here's the thing.
It's a great song.
Find it in the playlist, the correct one. There we go. That's the one. And then making sure
it's so theatrical. It's such a theatrical song. It's good.
Yeah, I love the theatricality of it. I like it also as a pick for this specific introductory list because it really feels like a band production. Like, you know, you've got the other members on backing vocals and it really feels like kind of a jam with the whole group. Whereas, you know, some of the songs that are kind of like more Nick forward are excellent, obviously, but I really don't want to discount the Bad Seeds themselves in this whole journey. And yeah, I just think this song is excellent. It's a great opening track on Let Love In. It's so dramatic and cool. I also really love Do You Love Me Part Two, which was not in our pool of songs, but I just am gonna say that it is included in spirit a little bit on my list.
Yeah. All right.
I almost put Part Two on there instead of one, just to fuck with everyone. But
I thought about it too. I really did, but I had to go with the more obvious, but maybe more suited pick.
All right,
you gotta have that jingle jangle, you know.
Jingle jangle.
All right, we got one. Brian, how can I anger you today?
Probably in a lot of ways. this was an after seeing him live again, I added this one immediately. It wasn't on my radar at first, not because it's a bad song, it just wasn't on my radar. But Papa Won't Leave You, Henry.
Yes, let's fucking go.
No, it was in my 30 and got cut in the last 10. So,
yeah, it was honestly like the story he told before he played it. And I was like, fuck, man, I want to revisit that song.
It's so good. I love it so much. It's definitely on my list. Great.
Wow.
He wrote that song over his son's crib. Like, he used to sing it to him and then he made it into a song. It's fucking
great. You fucking imagine, like, what kind of baby that must have grown up to be to exactly. have a song like this is your lullaby?
It is not a lullaby at all.
Not like, even a little.
I just imagine that kid being aggressive, being like, oh shit, this is my dad.
Yeah, gosh.
Well,
it's so good.
I can't bump that to three. I didn't have it, but if you couldn't tell by pained noises, that one was a very, very, very late cut. I couldn't tell you where, but I think Adam said it made his first 30. I'm fairly certain it was, yeah, it was, you know, 25 to 30 where it kind of dipped out. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's hard to narrow it down.
And it honestly would have been there until I saw him live again. I was like, fuck, man, I got to put this on there.
I bet that was amazing, like, in the solo context, too.
Oh, my God. It was...
I've only ever seen it at the Bad Seeds show.
Yeah, I saw him once with the Bad Seeds, like, 3 years ago. And it was, mm-hmm, he was honestly, obviously I love him, but I didn't expect him to be the greatest frontman I've ever seen in my life live.
Sure.
And I've seen a lot of fucking bands, don't get me wrong. But like,
yeah.
He blew me the fuck away. And then when he was coming here, and then I didn't even know till the day of that he was playing with Colin Greenwood. I was, mm-hmm, like, fuck, man, this is like everything I want in life right now.
Right? I wish I could have gone to some of those shows, it was, but they didn't come anywhere near me, unfortunately.
Yeah. And his, honestly, his fucking encore set, which he just kind of played randomly, was bigger than his regular set. It was honestly a fucking great experience. I recommend for everyone. If you get the chance, go see him.
All right. We're back around to me already. So now do I go with one of the ones that people kind of put out into the air? Or do I go with another aha moment for me? I think I'm going to go with one that people put out in the air that I had. How about Into My Arms?
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. One of my favorite songs ever.
It's a perfect song.
Yeah.
Hey.
There we go.
No brainer.
There are a few atheist love songs. And this is one of them, for sure.
Oh, there we go. So it wasn't.
Was that unanimous?
That's a unanimous.
Yes. I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good old PJ Harvey.
I would write a song about that if I, you know, fumbled PJ Harvey also.
Yeah, no shit. I can see why she inspired a lot of albums.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, would you look at that? Not bad. Two through already.
All right.
All right.
I'm on my way to controlling the show.
Yep. Adam?
Okay, so one of the things about Nick that I love is his ability to create characters. And I reckon he really hit his stride with that on Murder Ballads.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one particular character on that album, which is equal parts terrifying and funny. And that's Lottie from The Curse of Millhaven.
Oh, man.
That's on my list. I'm so happy.
God. Thank God.
Oh, that's such a great song. 24 people die in that song, including Biko the dog.
Or little Biko.
So this one I'm certain was like 22-23, one of my very last cuts. And I almost added it back in because Chris Otto, who, well, a two is good in a four person panel. It's not out of the it's, you know, mm-hmm, depends on how the rest of this goes. But Chris Otto actually put it up on when I asked everybody, and he was one of the people that was supposed to be here. And I almost put it back on just because it was like such a late cut for me. I almost put it back on my list, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to open that can of worms. So it was really my laziness that ended up. So this is, as Curtis would say, knock me over with a feather moment. Like, absolutely.
Can I call out a lyric in it? Can I just call out a quick one? My eyes ain't green and my hair ain't yellow. More like the other way around.
It's so
good. She's a demon, and you only really realize about halfway through that she's the killer, and he is Lottie, is singing in Lottie's voice, even though it's just an angry sounding Nick Cave. I've got to say, if it doesn't make the list, anyone listening to this, go and listen to Curse of Millhaven anyway, because it is an absolute cracker.
Yeah. It's a good time.
I agree. I mean, just go listen to Murder Ballads, period.
Yeah.
That was the album that I listened to first, and it was the one that got me into the Bad Seeds.
Well, there you go.
I had to cut the most from that album. It was hard for me.
All right. Anne, you're up.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I've still got a good pool of songs to choose from here. Okay, I think I'm going to pick one, again, that I think thematically is, you know, not only sort of representative of the type of things that Nick writes about, but I think also has gone on to have some more symbolic significance in his catalog just as time has gone on, and really ties into a lot of his own sort of like self-mythology that he's built up over the years. I'm going to go with Tupelo.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, that song is fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Yep, I got it.
All right. A three is just about as good as in. I don't have it. But I say this a lot on this show, and I hate it, but like it rings true every time I record. I try to listen to like as much of the entire playlist. Like I'll just push play on it like for, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, depends on what's going on in my life. And Tupelo came up and I immediately went, well, I was wrong on this one. I should have had that. So,
well, at least you realized it. But honestly, like, I feel like for all that, I might make some comments as this goes on, but I feel like I can't be particularly mad at you, Justin, because like, you just kind of went through all of this so quickly that I can't blame you for not, listening to every song and having the same sort of, the level of connection that I have to it after a decade,
Yeah. I do what I can, but sometimes a song only gets one listen through. That's why I said hearing Tupelo the second time, I was like, well, I was wrong about
like,
that.
Jesus Christ, right?
What did I do there?
I saw when I saw the Bad Seeds on the Skeleton Tree tour, they played this song, and it just hit me so hard. With the sort of in the context of Nick having lost his son Arthur, and this song being about the birth of two twins and the death of one of them, just like it's almost like eerie, kind of how much resonance it has now. And for that reason, it is both a great song and it's kind of has that sort of like spooky connection to like some of his later life and later work.
Spooky. Yeah. Definitely. Like it's not like forever permeating, but there is definitely times where you get into there's a lot of heartbreak here, which, this would be included, I would think. Heartbreak, love, spookiness. Like, there's a lot of different themes that we get into here. Brian, you're up.
All right. So the second song that I added on my list after I saw him again, not because it wasn't a great song already, but it certainly put it back on my radar, Oh Children.
Wow. Mm. Oh, dude, it's great, but no.
He did preface it, I will say. He did consciously recognize the fact he doesn't really play anything from Abattoir or The Lyre of Orvis's. Like he just doesn't play it live. It just kind of passed them by. So it was like a rare treat that he actually played something from it. So I think that's why it was more important to add to the list.
My kids pointed out that was in Harry Potter, wasn't it? That one.
It was, yeah.
Oh,
that was bizarre for me in the year 2007, I'd already been, or whenever that movie came out, I'd been a fan for a while, and it was, it's always a little weird to hear, a song that you...
Like Peaky Blinders.
...know so well, yeah, just kind of, randomly in something like that, and you're like, oh, now, everybody's going to know this song for that reason. That's a little weird.
So is that just one for Brian? For O Children?
It's not on my list, unfortunately. It was definitely on my preliminary list.
I'll say this. That one was one that listeners put up as one that we should have had. So you weren't...
I felt really great that he played it live. I got to hear it, so it's great.
All right. I'm going to go to the next aha moment for me, because the song... Even in the title was like, yeah, I get that. So I may be alone here, but it was a feeling that I got from Nick. People Ain't No Good.
Oh, I love that song
was,
so
the
much.
The last song I cut, honestly.
Hey, there we go.
It didn't make my list, but yeah, again, on my preliminary list, The Boatman's Call is probably my favorite Bad Seeds album. I just really love that song in particular, but unfortunately, didn't have room for it on my list of introductory tracks.
I mean, it gets...
And I think it's in Shrek 2, by the way.
Really?
Is it really? In Shrek, yes. That song and a Tom Waits song, I believe, are in Shrek 2,
The last scene when Donkey and Shrek are kind of quite morose and pretty down on the world and people ain't no good in it. That's great.
All right. So the twos are not dead yet. So, I mean, that's the good part about a four-person panel. Twos can hang around for a little bit. All right. Adam, you're up.
Okay. We've already mentioned her, so I'm going to stay on Murder Ballads, but every time, and I've been on a few panels where PJ Harvey's been in a collab, and I can't not pick her. So Henry Lee off Murder Ballads.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Hey! Yep.
All right.
It was hard for me not to put the whole album on there.
Justin, have you got that one too?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I knew you would.
Yeah.
Clear our mutual love of PJ. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. Cool. It's, you know, a lot of times when there's a feature, I try to ignore it. But who can really ignore PJ Harvey? Like, you can't, yeah. Right?
You couldn't if you tried.
Yeah.
No.
And that video is just like goth romance perfection.
Absolutely.
So there we go. We're right there at Anne's three.
Oh boy.
Okay. And you're
well.
Don't do any better, everyone.
Yeah, everybody stay there so I can add the most fucking random song to our list with no input whatsoever. I think we brought up the Abattoir Blues Lyre of Orpheus album, which is also one of my favorites. So I feel like I should pick something from it. I have one song from Abattoir and one song from Lyre of Orpheus. I don't know which one I should pick. Well, I think I will go with one of my very favorite Bad Seeds songs that I sort of don't really expect to be on anybody else's list, but I will be pleasantly surprised if it is. There She Goes, My Beautiful World.
Man, you have no idea how close I was to making my fucking list.
Oh, man.
And I've got you.
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think that it's so hard to write a song about not being able to write a song. And like the whole genre of like writing about writing can be so fucking awful, but this is like an example of it done really well.
Also, it's him full gospel mode. I love it when Nick goes full religious gospel kind of, it's just, but totally. Dark, you know, it's a bit of a different sound than a lot of his other stuff. I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brian.
All right. Well, speaking of religion, I'm going to go God Is in the House.
I wanted to pick that, but I didn't. Too. I'm sorry.
It was in my first list, Brian, but didn't make my final one.
Okay. I wanted to put something from that album. So no more Shall We Part.
Yeah, no more Shall We Part. Yeah.
It's a great album. I like the references in the lyrics to this song to like kittens and 10-foot tall lesbians and shit.
Yeah.
That's really my whole in my wheelhouse.
That's your whole vibe.
All right. Well, we're back to me. And
so much.
I feel like, all right, I'm doing it. I don't care. This song has to come up, right? This has to. Somebody has to say this, so I'm going to be the one.
I don't have it. I already know what you're saying. I don't have it.
Red Right Hand.
Don't have it. I love it. It's a great song.
It's on my list.
That's the one I was referring to that I might not have that others have, and no, I don't have it.
Yeah, okay. I don't have it either.
All right.
I think it's actually... You
can't see me, but I'm shaking my head over here.
I love that album.
Unfortunately, that song got a bit ruined for me. It was on an advert in Australia for one of our wine regions near where I live. So one of the famous red wine regions, and they played that song over the ad, and it was a weird choice. But it's just sort of been a bit ruined. But you know, I'm happy for others to have it. Yeah,
I totally get that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's got two, and twos are officially going to start being in trouble now because we're at 10 between. Yes. So yep. Now's where it starts getting interesting. All right, Adam.
Okay. I'm gonna go to an album that we didn't have a lot of songs on, but I've got one, and it is one of my favorite albums, and it is a beautiful one of the first ballads of Nick Cave's that I really fell for big time, and it is from The Good Son, and it's the song The Ship Song.
Yes, absolutely. I fucking love that.
Definitely.
No.
It's classic.
I hate hearing definitely when I have to go.
Oh man.
Oh no.
No, I don't.
Well, we see which one of us was the bad seed of amongst the panel.
I mean, yeah. That's pretty much always the case, Brian. You know this.
I know this.
Ooh, and officially there is a two in danger, at least one from here on out. Mm-hmm. Officially a fish out. All right.
Well, we haven't even gotten to the later period yet, so
no, we haven't really. We haven't gotten it yet.
And crazily enough, like only what, three have gone into the bin, and we still have a ton of ground to cover. So,
yeah.
All right, and you're up.
Really, that quickly? Okay. Let's see. Well, I guess I better get my definitelys out of the way while I'm here. This is one that kind of just like went on my list without even thinking, and then, you know, revisiting it, going through all these songs, I was like, yeah, that one has earned its spot. It's a classic. Stagger Lee.
Yes.
I was going to make the same argument for the same song. Yes. it's an absolute definitely.
Yes, for me.
There we go.
There we go.
There we go.
We got four.
We got everybody. Ooh. Yep.
It was a song he closed the show out with the first time I saw him, and like the entire crowd got to go on stage and sing it with.
Yeah,
him.
It was crazy. Dude. I'm a big fan of the extra lyrics in the live version of the song where the devil comes up from hell and says, "I'm gonna, you know, take you down, Stagger Lee, because you're killing too many people." And then of course, Stag puts four holes in his motherfucking head.
Yeah, I think you and I saw on the same tour.
Yeah, we must have. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the record, that puts us at four unanimously, and you're out. Adam,
God damn it.
You currently hold it, and those twos are looking more and more in danger as we go. All right, Brian, you're up.
All right, I'm going to go to later period then. This was the album he was touring on when I saw him for the first time. It is the only song from this album I have, not because I don't like it, but just because his later albums for me are more concept-y. Where I found this problem with Ghost Teen as well, where I just couldn't separate songs from it, from the whole album. But in this one, I did. It's Girl in Amber.
That was very close to making my list, but it didn't.
Yeah. It's on mine. It's on mine. I've got it.
I can't add a third here, but there it is.
I'll take it. It's fine.
Two keeps it in the combo for now. But any more threes and it could hit the flow. All right. So, where do I go from here? Because I gotta admit, I've done much better than I thought I would at this point. But I feel like this is probably the place where I'm going to start missing like crazy. All right, this one was pretty high on my list. How about Jack the Ripper?
Oh, ooh. So close to making my list, dude.
Same.
It was like maybe the 21st song.
It was definitely first pass. Yeah.
Was that
I don't even think it was on my list, actually. So, no. Oh, no, it's okay. I don't. Yeah, it's not my favorite.
All right.
That song is my problematic fave.
Okay.
All right. I went into the bin. It's fine. All right, Adam.
Okay, I'm gonna. We've been talking about Nick Cave live, and I reckon I've seen him now probably five or six times over the 20-30 years. And I've seen. I saw him on the Carnage tour with Warren Ellis, that was just unbelievable. And this song is so raw and personal for him, particularly around his tragedy of losing two sons. From Ghost Teen, Waiting For You.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Man. I got it.
I'm so sorry.
That was the one song I got because it was hard for me to pull from that album because the whole thing is just fucking great. But that was my one pick.
So it's got three.
Nice.
Oh, you got it, Justin.
Yes, I do.
Oh, excellent. Great.
Sweet.
All right. Brian, or I'm sorry, Anne.
That's right. let's see. Well, as long as we're talking Ghosteen, I didn't have Waiting for You on my list, unfortunately. But one of the Ghosteen songs that is on my list is Bright Horses.
Oh, I almost made it too.
It's one of my favorite, I think, lyrically, songs that he's ever written.
I can't.
I've got it.
Oh.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's got two.
Ghosteen is, it's got an argument for his best album, potentially, I think. It's just the more I listen to it. But it is hard to pick songs from, but that one is an absolute gem.
I just remember, the feeling that I had after the first time I listened to Ghosteen all the way through is, like, not a sensation that I think I had ever had or have experienced since. Like, I was just, like, in a trance of sorts for a while after it was done.
It is surprising to me that it took this long to get to that point that Brian made on Last Go. I can't believe I didn't mention this, because this was a problem I had in his later work, is they... I don't want to use the term complete albums, but they were more conceptual. Like it was a lot harder to pick apart, like, no, this song, this part.
Certainly, yeah.
So
it's honestly like exclusive to the last two records, because even Push the Sky Away doesn't feel like the concept that Ghosteen and Skeleton do as well. Like, those two specifically were like, I don't think I can separate this one song from this whole piece of art.
So
it was harder. It was harder for sure.
I don't think I voiced this, but I do think Ghosteen was my favorite. And I mean, I kind of, because at this point I probably listened, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago.
Nothing wrong with that.
A month ago, I think Ghosteen was my favorite, but you know, more on that as we go. All right, so. Let's see, Bright Horses was Anne. So, Brian, you're up.
All right, I'm going to go, honestly, one of my favorite records he's ever done, Jubilee Street.
Yes.
Yes.
Lyrically, oh my God, A Fetish on a Leash? Oh, let's do it.
And the live versions are just insane.
Justin?
I cannot advance that.
No.
But it's a three. We got three, though, yeah, so that's all right.
It's very good. It's got a very good shot at three.
In my opinion, the real MVP of Jubilee Street is Warren Ellis. That violin is just so good.
If you aren't a fan of him solo-wise or, like, his other projects, holy shit, that guy is amazing.
Yeah,
like, he's a real one. He's like a classical train anarchist on stage. Like, he's so wonderful. He's brought so much. He's the reason why Nick Cave is still relevant to me. And not taking it from Nick Cave, but, like, they work so fucking well together.
They really do. That that partnership has, like, really.
Yeah.
I think, you know, both, like, you know, perhaps personally for Nick has been, like, something that has kept him creatively inspired, but also, like, you know, has kept that, you know, their music fresh and has, you know, has the ability to get people interested, even though he's been, you know, a working musician for decades.
So with that three, I do have to point out that at this point, and there's still plenty left, only one of those twos could go in. And technically speaking, even that isn't the case, because Adam, at this point, Adam would have final say. So, all right.
For now.
For now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You know, maybe we'll do like three more rounds and dump out from there. I keep scrolling past this song, and I'm going to stop scrolling past it. How about Straight to You?
Yep. I got it.
Yes.
It lost out to another song from Henry's Dream, unfortunately.
Oh.
All right, now officially the...
I hated this song when I first...
No more twos. Yep. Really?
I actually hated it. Yeah, I hated it because I was a diehard Nick Cave fan, and that song at that point in his career...
It must have been pretty jarring at that time.
Yeah, it was jarring, but now I go back to it. It's a great song. It's So good choice.
All right. Straight to you gets a three. And like I said, the twos are done. I mean, you know, unless Adam picks one for a final say. All right. Adam, you're up.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I'm going to miss on this, but I'm going to go there. So after getting into Tender Prey, I worked my way backwards through this dog with quite a few of my friends. And this song I'm going to pick is, Nick Cave has actually said that he reckons it's one of his best songs he's ever written. And it's called Sad Waters off of From Her to Eternity.
Oh, that's a good pick.
That is a really good song. Didn't make my list, unfortunately.
No, same.
Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah, I didn't think it would, but because Nick has actually said that, yeah, it's one of his favorites that he's written. So, oh, there you go.
Is that one of the songs that Anita wrote with him?
I think it might be, actually. Yeah, I think that's right. Maybe
that kind of rings a bell for me.
Yeah.
She was very, you know, she had a big hand in a lot of those early songs for sure.
Yeah.
All right. And?
Yep.
I, based on the Straight to You pick, I don't think anybody else will have this song, or at least not enough to bump it up to any sort of contention. But it's my personal favorite from Henry's Dream, so I wanted to pick it. John Finn's Wife.
Oh.
Nope. Had it on the short list, but not,
I figured that was kind of a... that was sort of a, like, I know it's not going to get picked, but I got to represent for it. I think it's one of my favorite sort of, like, storytelling type songs that he's done.
Totally.
Yeah. It was really hard for me to cut it, actually. It's a goodie. Yeah.
All right.
I just want to reiterate, I hate the show.
I think that's the first time you've hit the bin.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Well. Me and John Finn lying dead on the ground.
welcome to the club.
Yep, it happens. All right, Brian?
All right, I think this might be one of my favorite Nick Cave songs of all time. Push the Sky Away.
So good.
Oh, when you said that.
Not on my list, but I love it.
It just has the most haunting fucking like keys in it. I love it so much.
I think it was number 22 or 3 or something like that. It's just
I was not expecting that to whiff, but you know what? That's cool. I like it.
I must have had that really late because when you said it, I was like, oh, yeah. I went to say yeah, and it is not on my list.
Oh, man. I love that song. That song means a lot to me.
Brian said, you guys don't like me.
No, it's fine. Like I was going through a really big depression when that song really came into my life. And then I saw him play it live afterwards and I was like, God, this is really one of my favorite things he's ever done.
There's something so cathartic about it, especially in the live context. I totally get it.
Oh boy.
Maybe I won't get the five. Jesus.
I'm going to take
a shot. No, I've still got a couple, I think, that might.
I honestly have no idea, obviously.
I don't either.
I feel like the ones I was pretty sure about have hit, except for, you know, the one, and I didn't miss on it, but it just didn't get all the way through. So I'm going to go here. This one feels like it could go either way. It could be everybody's got it or I'm in the bin. And No More Shall We Part.
Oh man.
No.
That's you know what? For not being a Nick Cave fan, you picking that song on your list, that's respectable. I don't have it, but it's very
respect to you.
Yeah.
I specifically didn't pick that song because it's possibly the Nick Cave song that like bums me out the most. And I was like, I don't wanna like scare the new listeners away by just giving them a song that's a huge downer. So it didn't make my list, but it might be my favorite song on that album.
It bummed me out, and that's the reason why I picked it.
I respect that.
So
that's a very Smashing Pumpkins fan pick of your Justin.
I wonder. All right, Adam.
Okay, so there was a bit of love, I think, from a few people about the album Push the Sky Away, and I love that album. I'm actually going to read out my favorite lyric first, and then the song title. Well, here comes Lucifer with his canon law and 100 black babies running from his genocidal jaw. And that song is Hig Bossen Blues.
Yes, of course, man. Yes.
I'm like mad at myself that I didn't put that on my list. I'm so sorry.
I'm mad at you too. Shit.
You should be. It was definitely like, it was one of the ones that I sort of thought of and was like, well, obviously that's going to go on there, but I couldn't find room for it.
You know, I thought we were homies, man.
I know. I'm so sorry.
I've got it. So it's three.
Oh, cool. Nice. Yeah.
If it makes the final list, I am all in favor of that.
It's going through for sure.
You know what?
Yeah. We're going to push that one through.
It makes me so happy to hear. It makes me so happy to hear that, because I thought I was going out on a limb when I picked that, because I kept coming back to it.
I couldn't
pinpoint what it was that, you know, why I wasn't dropping it. I couldn't pinpoint it, and it just kept staying and staying and staying.
I mean, it's such a weird song, but it really just gets in you somehow.
That's a good way of putting it, Justin. Actually, it just hangs around a little bit. It just kept on my list. Yep, and. Yeah.
It makes me happy that Brian said absolutely, because that means I got something right here. Like I couldn't pinpoint it, but I got it right. So, and to me, that was.
I've only got three left.
Oh, wow.
I've only got three left now. Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, I only have seven. So like we'll finish this round out.
I think I have like four.
I think
five,
I have six.
I have like four or five. Yeah.
So we'll finish this round out. We'll do one more and then we'll dump out. Sound like a plan?
Okay.
All right. That works.
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Anne, you're up.
Okay. I think I want to pay tribute to Blixabargeld and choose the Weeping Song.
Oh. Absolutely. I have it.
I do not.
I figured it would whiff, but like I'm glad somebody else agrees with me on that.
I think this might have been the last song to make my list, or that I decided on last. So it just barely made it in there, but I think it was another example, I think, of just wanting to represent the band at large, and it's such a great weird duet between the two of them.
That's a really underrated record, honestly.
I agree.
All right, Brian.
All right, Stranger Than Kindness.
Ooh.
No.
Yes. 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 Yes.
That was like my one pick from that record. So
from Heart of Eternity.
Yes.
Your Funeral, My Trial. Yeah.
Yeah, it's from. It's from Your Funeral, My Trial. Sorry.
My Trial. Yeah.
You're right.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. I thought you were picking that song. Yeah. Ignore me.
I thought that too for a second.
Sorry. Sorry, no.
Pretend I didn't say anything.
Jeez. He's just like, I see your song and raise you another song.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, unfortunately, with the two, it doesn't. I mean, again, it could get picked up out of the bin, I guess. But all right. So this will be our last round, and then we'll dump out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where do I go from here? All right. Well, let's try this one out. How about it? Far From Me.
No, but again, another iconic breakup song about PJ Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Off on my own.
Yeah, no, I don't have it, but it's a ripper. Yeah.
All right. Adam.
Okay. So his first radio hit in Australia, it was an alternative song, but alternative radio hit, but was off Tender Prey, and it's Deanna.
Oh.
I love Deanna. It's not on my list, but it's so fucking good.
Same, yeah.
I can't save you there.
Oh, there's wow. Deanna gets one. My wife's going to be very angry with that. When I talk about that.
Is your wife Deanna?
Yeah. I'll say, I've got one. She'll say, what are you guys doing?
Well, I mean.
There's a funny story about that song. Henry Rollins told one of the times I saw him doing a live storytelling. He was talking about Jello Biafra from Dead Kennedys, and they went to go see Nick Cave together, and Nick Cave pulled them on stage to do Deanna together, and Jello's like, I don't know this song. And then Henry Rollins is like, just say, oh, Deanna. That's all you need to know.
So you need.
Yep.
Nailed it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I kind of jumped the gun a little bit, so I'll just lay it out on the table. How about From Her to Eternity?
Yeah, I got that.
Oof, no. Yeah, I wish I did, honestly. I regret my list.
Yes, I do, as you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Ooh, this conversation.
We've got three, have we?
Yeah, it's three. It's juicy. This next round's going to be juicy.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
All right, Brian.
Idiot Prayer.
Ah, so good. But no.
No. I'm actually out.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have a lot of connections with people, I think, on these, but yeah, so I'm out.
All right. Well, I can't save Brian there. And at this, all right. this point, no I can officially say that Adam's four is going to be the winner. All we can do is make the conversation harder going forward. So I'm going to dump
out. Son of a bitch.
I'm going to dump out here. I'll start right at the top of my list. Scum.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, nope.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not on my list, but it's just, yeah, good song. Good choice.
I'm pretty sure Gavin, who didn't make the final panel, would have had that because a couple of comments he made in the chat. So
yeah,
I think we've had another connector there.
Your Funeral, My Trial?
Yep, I got that one.
Hey. I mean, it's...
Not a while ago.
It's dead in the water, but at least I wasn't alone on it. All right.
Our Funeral.
Yep, that's right. The Good Son.
Ooh.
No.
No, it was such a good song.
A lot of heartbreak. I Let Love In?
Also great, but no. All of this is painful.
Yeah. All right. That whole album was painful for me.
Get Ready for Love?
Yes, I have that.
I wish, but no.
All right. And then last but not least, More News from Nowhere.
Oh, man.
No.
Nope. All right. So I technically did not add anything. And again, at this point, you guys are just doing it for shits and gigs because we can't get any more threes. But what do you got left, Dan?
Let's see. Let me go down my list. I've got The Lyre of Orpheus.
Nice.
I have Magneto from Skeleton Tree, which I assumed nobody else was going to pick, but it's my favorite from that record.
It was between that and Girl in Amber, honestly, for me.
Yeah, it was for me too, actually. And then my last pick was my real sort of like self-indulgent fan pick is Hollywood.
Ooh, that's a good pick. I don't have it, but obviously.
All right. Let me just add that here, Hollywood. And then again, just for fun, Brian, do you have anything left?
I have two left. I have Nobody's Baby Now.
Kill me. I love that song.
Yeah. And I have, hold on, where's my other one? Oh, We Know Who You Are.
Oh. Yeah, so good.
Who you are.
I just like it. That, I think that was the hardest album for me to cut, was Push the Sky Away. I really love that record.
I actually only ended up picking up the one song from Push the Sky Away, which was Jubilee Street. But I think it was not because I don't like that album. I think it was because it was too hard to choose between the songs, and I kind of just narrowed it down to the one.
I mean, it was hard for me to do a lot. Like Let Love In, Burner Ballads, Boatman's, and that record were really fucking hard for me.
And that doesn't even bring into consideration the songs that we didn't include in this pool for the episode. Like, there's loads of songs that I've already been through the mourning process that I couldn't put on my list.
All right. So we got four through unanimously, which again means Adam will have our final say. We got Do You Love Me, Into My Arms, Henry Lee, and Staggerly. We're already off to like a killer start for the record.
Mm-hmm. And literally.
And for the record, between the twos and
a lot of Lees.
Yeah. Between the twos, between the twos and the threes, we actually got 19 through.
Oh my God.
But the twos are dead in the water. We're only dealing with the threes here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them. So let's see, six. So five of those are group decisions, and one of those is Adam's. So we've got The Mercy Seat, Tupelo, The Ship Song, Waiting for You, and Jubilee Street, Straight to You, Higgs Boson Blues, and From Her to Eternity. So since Adam has the final say, I'm going to skip to Anne. Anne, is there one that out of those eight that you kind of hear and you're like, man, I can't believe that one didn't get in?
I got to be honest, you just named off all those songs and I think my brain just went blue screen of death. I don't... Sure. There's really not a wrong answer here. I think I'm open to pushback or suggestions on this, but I think just off the dome, I would say Tupelo.
Does anybody?
I would say Tupelo has to go through, and also Higgs Boson has to go through.
I'm in favor of Higgs going through, even though I didn't pick it.
All right, so let's grab those two. Make this a little easier on ourselves.
No argument for me at all.
Okay. All right, so that brings us up to...
Now we have what?
Six.
Six?
So we have three more. Again, The Mercy Seat, The Ship Song, Waiting for You, Jubilee Street, Straight for You, From Her to Eternity. Adam, is there one that you're looking, you're hearing there that you're like, man... Are you serious? Why didn't we get that?
Wait. The Mercy Seat's not all the way through?
No.
Oh, that was you. No, we have to put that one through.
It was you.
It was me. does anybody have any objections to The Mercy Seat?
Certainly not.
No, I don't. I don't. But there is an opportunity cost here, of course.
Yeah.
weighing up. But yeah, no, I think Mercy Seat has to go in. Yeah.
All right. So... We've got, let's see, what does that take us to? Seven?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Seven or eight?
I got seven.
Seven, okay. Yeah, because we had six with those two in, and then that one was the third one.
Oh, yeah, seven, there. Sorry, yeah. So we've got three to go, right.
All right, and then two of those are group decisions, and one of them is Adams and Adams Alone. So Ship Song, Waiting for You, Jubilee Street, Straight to You, From Her to Eternity. Is there one sitting there, Adam, that you're like, I can't believe?
I think Waiting for You, something off his latest album, such a great album. Absolutely. I think it's the only one we've got left from Ghostine.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Any objection, Ian?
I'm a little iffy on it, but I'm willing to hear it out. I think that there are other songs that I would choose from that list before it, but, you know, this is a democracy, so.
I'm happy to park it. For a little bit longer.
Maybe we can table it for now and
okay. Put a pin in it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So is there another one jumping out at you, Adam?
Maybe Jubilee Street.
Yeah, I would say that too.
Yeah, I would be fine with Jubilee Street.
All right. Again, that's me. So let's go ahead and pop that one on through. All right. So now we have The Ship Song, Waiting for You, Straight to You, From Her to Eternity. Anne, I'll put this one up to you. Is there one there that you kind of would really fight for?
I think that of these songs, the one that I would really fight for is From Her to Eternity.
Mm.
I think I would like to have more, or maybe not more, but some representation of sort of early Bad Seeds on there.
What do you think, Brian? You're the odd man out here.
I was going to say that one and Ship Song.
Ooh.
Would be my picks.
Yeah, it's close between those two, honestly. But I think From Her to Eternity in this context wins out for me.
I'm not going to argue with that at all. So we can put that one through.
All right. And, you know, before I officially put it through, you can put a stop to it if you want, Adam.
No way.
Okay.
But it would have been my last. It would have been my, yeah. Last pick anyway.
You know what? I kind of thought that, which is why I was kind of more in like, I want to put Chips on through because I know he's going to put that one through.
Yeah.
All right. So that takes us to nine. That means the final say, and I will say this, the Ship Song, Waiting for You, Straight to You are the threes. Feel free to pick anything, of course, but those are technically the ones that are still alive. Adam, it's completely
waiting for you.
I'm going to pick one of those three. I mean, the interesting three that are left, actually, because they're all just powerful ballads, aren't they?
You could go wild card. You could pick something from Nocturama.
I'm gonna pick one of these because I don't think if I look at the list, we don't have one of these sorts of. I think they occupy a particular part of Nick Cave's writing that we don't have hugely represented anyway. Far out. It's for me. I think the one I would knock out straight to you. It's Down to the Ship Song or Waiting for You. Sorry, Anne. I'm gonna go Waiting for You because we haven't got anything on Ghosting.
Oh, that's fine. I think because we got some other songs in there that I would have chosen first, but now that we're down to number 10 and it's your unambiguous pick, I'm perfectly fine with Waiting for You.
I wholeheartedly agree.
All right, then that means we've done it.
Some very, very stiff songs outside that 10, though, isn't there?
Yeah. We could have made, we could have doubled or tripled the size of this playlist and it wouldn't have been enough.
And honestly, on a different panel, this top 10 would have looked completely different because he's just that
very different artist.
Yeah.
All right. So let me run it down. We got Do You Love Me, Into My Arms, Henry Lee, Stagger Lee, Tupelo, Higgs Boston Blues, The Mercy Seat. I don't know how to say it. So Jubilee Street, From Her to Eternity, and Waiting for You. Now, Adam, of those 10, which one is the one?
I think it's got to be Into My Arms.
Ooh.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
What do you think?
That's what I would think.
Into My Arms is maybe my favorite Nick Cave song, depending on the day. I don't know how I feel about labeling it sort of the
quintessential,
or less objective overall. But, I really don't have a leg to stand on if it's one of my favorite songs. So, yeah, I approve.
All right. So let's.
Did you choose Anne? That's all right.
Let's do it.
Either that or Stagger Lee for me. Yeah.
Into My Arms it is. And hold on. Let me find it on my playlist here. And we will start wrapping up there we go.
I'll get ready to cry.
Into My Arms. Eventually my phone will catch up with me. That's cool. Into My Arms is our number one. Do You Love Me? Henry Lee, Stagger Lee, Tupelo, Higgs Boston Blues, The Mercy Seat, Jubilee Street, From Her to Eternity, and Waiting for You, our 10.
This is a great list.
Let's let Into My Arms get a moment in the sun. My heart.
But I know, darling, that you do.
There we go.
Sorry, I cannot say one.
We have done it. We have turned you into Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Fans, you're welcome. We did all that. We literally did all of the hard work for you.
We did this so you didn't have to.
Yes, all you have to do is push play. Seriously, man, how great are we? I'm just saying. We did it.
Shout out to
us.
Great.
We great.
little self high five here. Hello, everybody. Look, maybe you disagree. That's fine. You can come into the Discord, the Legion of Stupid Discord. Come in and tell us we're wrong. That's fine. If that's something you'd like to do. You can also follow me on Threads and Instagram at DeprogrammedVA or on Twitter at The Hulkster. I don't really use it that much anymore, but it still exists. So you can do that if you like. If you want to come play, legionofstupid.com, click podcasts, click deprogrammed. Right up there at the top is a sign-up sheet. Tell me what artists you want to come talk about, and we will make it happen. It might take a minute, but we will make it happen. Since you're there at legionofstupid.com, you can listen to the show there. That would be awesome if you do such. You can also listen on all podcast platforms, and if you do that, please consider giving us a 5-star on Spotify, or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars, and a review would be super awesome of you to do. Also, patreon.com/ohhi. Justin's a great place to go. If you got $1 a month, you get deprogrammed before the rest of the world. You get the after-the-fact conversation that we are about to have. Whatever audio I record, I generally speaking put there first. And you also get access to different channels in the Discord. There's all sorts of other stuff too, but my brain's kind of fried. So what can I say? Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Learn them and love them, people. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.